When Rev Joe asked if I would say a few words about a memory from our 25 years, for some reason the thing that popped into my mind right away was carrying RE boxes across the road from Wilson Chapel to Pala Mountain. And our thread from there to here actually starts before that, when we were meeting at Temple Sinai, and every week we brought in the RE boxes and the chalice and the hymnals and put them out and used them, put them away, set up chairs, put chairs back again, and then we moved to Wilson Chapel and we did the same, carrying the RE boxes and snacks and shepherding the children across the road and setting up chairs and taking down chairs and bringing the chalice. So when Jim Mahuta suggested that 624 North Broadway was about to be for sale, it seemed so unlikely. You've all heard that story, but we were a small congregation. We didn't really have any money. The idea that we would buy a property seemed outlandish, but part of the impetus, for some of us anyway, was having a permanent home so that RE supplies and activities could take place in a place that was ours and that didn't have to be carted back and forth. And so, wondrously, it actually happened. It seemed kind of amazing at the time, and actually seems kind of amazing even still that we did that. But so by that time then, we had a permanent place for our chalice, we had a permanent place for RE supplies, we had a permanent place for our hymnals. We're still setting up chairs. So as I thought about kind of the thread, our move to a new building with a social space probably means that we won't have to set up chairs, at least maybe not every week. And it seems to me to kind of follow our transition from one home to the next home. And I'm looking forward to that.
New Year Saratoga's beginnings rather neatly coincide with the years that my daughter grew from childhood into her adult life. These two histories are forever linked in my mind and heart. So I offer you some reflections of a UU parent who happens to have just witnessed her daughter's marriage. It's a bit of closure on an era, both for me personally and for this church, as we move forward into new space. As I've mentioned to many over the past 25 years, my husband and I were thrilled when the UUs came to town, Jimmy having grown up UU in Ohio. In 1996, our daughter would turn 4, and we'd been searching for the spiritual piece that would best fit our family. Frankly, I had begun to panic a bit. As a teacher and a mother, I knew that raising a child took a village, and we wanted a spiritual village, not only for her, but for ourselves. My own family background had been one of chaos, dysfunction, and religious confusion. So I was searching for a faith that offered me a spiritual path I could embrace fully, and one in which our child could thrive. We received the answer to our prayers when we attended the first UUCSS Thanksgiving service held in the public library. While Jimmy and I might have held back a little bit, taken a seat in the rear of the room, kind of survey the situation, Allie made a beeline to the front row, so her parents had to follow her there. That was the beginning of our UU memories. We were all in. We were present for the first passing of the light at the Christmas Eve service at the Methodist Church, which was our first home. I can still see the glowing faces of those standing in our circle that night, including my daughters, and remember the newly acquired feeling of peace in the sacredness of connection that the moment brought to me. This remains one of many treasured memories of the early days of the congregation. Linda has talked about how the move occurred into our new building, and the children felt the anticipation of this greatly. Allie very involved since she heard many conversations at our dining room table. So by the time of the building dedication, she was a fourth grader who was very interested in moving into a building of our own. She even wrote a poem which she read during the dedication service. It's been quoted several times before, so I won't repeat it here, but we'll just say that it was gratifying to hear her speak words about UUCSS always having open doors to everyone. And I knew this congregation was indeed helping us raise a UU soul. I think all the children felt the importance of having such a place to call home. The energy at that time was palpable, and it was especially wonderful to witness the excitement of the kids. So I'll end my UU Saratoga parental journey with a telling anecdote. It's interesting and a little surprising that I was not at all emotional during my daughter's wedding earlier this month. I guess we were just having too much fun. However, last week in returning to the sanctuary, I got teary-eyed for the first time in thinking about the passage we had just experienced. Because this is a space that holds so many fond and important memories of our daughter's life and of our parenting years. Potluck dinners and auctions, secret friends, plans for UU camp in the Adirondacks, a life-altering trip to El Salvador, teen fundraisers, the coming-of-age program, youth-led services and sermons, all within the embrace of a supportive, loving congregation. It all came back to me, layers of precious memories. My wish for all parents is to have the gift of such a deeply meaningful spiritual space for themselves and for their children.
I'm Peter Marino, and I was the chair of this congregation's social justice committee for 8 years back in the day. And our social justice goal was always to improve the lives of others in our immediate community and to make maybe a small dent in what seemed at the time perhaps impenetrable barriers to social justice in our world. And I want to mention the other people that were on my squad at the time, and I probably have left some people out, but Carol Kennedy, Eric Lawson, Linda Miner, Chris Cuss, Jeff Ehrenberg, Harry Moran, probably others. I can't remember now over those 8 years. In pursuit of those goals, we adopted families whose children needed school supplies. We provided them clothes, holiday and birthday gifts, and we made the homes of citizens of Saratoga County warmer, safer, and drier through our work with Rebuilding Together. We took up collections for disaster victims, we held bake sales and bottle drives, we donated tons of clothing and linens and furniture to benefit the backstretch workers in the racing industry, and we served and delivered food to the needy and even shepherded an Afghani girl through a perilous childhood in her war-torn country. We also took rigid and unrelenting positions on social issues such as the death penalty, women's reproductive rights, and marriage equality, and war. Sometimes our objectives seemed impossible, maybe even absurd, such as the buildup at the time of the buildup to the war in Iraq, when our small band of people, social justice warriors, could hardly be heard over the roar of nationalism that existed in 2003. But we never lost sight of our mission, we never lost hope, and we even occasionally found ourselves in the unusual and delightful position of having contributed in some small part to actual legislative and judicial triumphs. Our work toward the abolition of the death penalty, for instance, was not in vain, because today the death penalty is not a reality in New York State, and it has been all in the state anyway, and forgotten as a political issue. What was most fulfilling to me personally was our triumph with marriage equality. The UUA Standing on the Side of Love advocacy campaign helped move the dream of marriage equality to being the law of the land in New York State. In this congregation, we sent letters, we contacted our representatives, we lobbied legislators at their offices in Albany, and it took some bravery on the parts of many of us, many people in this congregation, to make marriage equality a reality, because perhaps some of you who participated then had to defy your own comfort zones by getting involved with this issue, having to face criticism or disdain by friends, perhaps colleagues, family members. And surely it was a small act of bravery and maybe even defiance to send a letter with your name and address on it, or to make a call to an elected official on such an issue. The marriage equality law did pass in New York State on July 24th, 2011, and this made a difference in the social structure of New York State, which became a model of leadership for every state in the Union. A few days later, July 31st, 2011, this congregation held a special service to commemorate this historical event and to honor the institution of marriage itself. Part of that service was dedicated to our then representative in the New York State Senate, Republican Senator Roy McDonald, who took perhaps the biggest risk by voting for equality. He, along with other Republican senators, Stephen Saland, Mark Grisanti, and James Alessi, gave us the votes necessary for this historic legislation. In voting for marriage equality, Senator McDonald said, "You get to the point where you evolve in your life where everything isn't black and white, good and bad, and you try to do the right thing." The Social Justice Committee presented a certificate of appreciation to Mr. McDonald's representative, Mr. Gordon Boyd, and the certificate itself was created by Anna Erica and Diana O'Brien of Nueva Esperanza del Norte. We then did what is perhaps my most resounding memory of my UUCSS life, which was, for those of us legally married in other states, for us that would have been Massachusetts, or married in other countries, to stand in front of our faith community and renew our wedding vows with a full assurance that our marriages were now equal in New York State. And so couples of all sorts were invited to step forward for what to me became a sacred ceremony. And as we all repeated our vows that the minister gave us, I couldn't help but looking around at who had gathered, the generations of couples that had gathered with my husband Aaron and me, my mother and father, many other congregants here, some of whom I will mention, but I'm sure there are more of them that I have forgotten, Jen and Greg Pratt, Arlison Murray, Barbara and Jerry Cass, all renewing their vows. And most poignantly for me, my little brother and his wife, who were visitors for the occasion, they were a young couple who had lost their only child a year before, and they stood up with the rest of us, and they reaffirmed their commitment to each other and to moving forward. Like I said, it's my most potent memory of UUCSS, and I think of it often, especially in the face of any sorrow I feel for those of us who are no longer with us. It was a consummate moment of saying yes to life, and I want to thank this congregation for it.
I was asked to speak to the story of our quilt. Once we moved into this place with all of our excitement, not to mention our boxes of religious education materials, we looked around the sanctuary and thought, what can we do to make this more our own, have it really seem like a UU gathering place? Well, one of the first things Ellen reminded me was we tore off heavy maroon curtains that were on every one of these windows, turning it into the dankest imaginable place. You can kind of visualize that, can't you? The light was phenomenal, but you know, it just wasn't enough. We wanted to do something that would be very special and focus us on what makes our faith, both for the adults and for the children. The idea of depicting our principles in a series of hangings to fill up this blank wall seemed like a good place to start. Our goal was to probably have one big quilt and two side panels. We wanted to have them reflect our principles of respect for beliefs of all people and respect for the earth. The RE curriculum was extremely helpful, and UUA came forward and offered resources. We formed a little group, of course, of quilters and sewers, and Diana O'Brien, whom you've heard of before, a fantastic quilter, led the group. We went through hours of discussion, research, concept sketches, and more. And Diana found a floral quilt, which I thought was really ugly, but the concept was good. We liked the idea that it had a center circle and four half circles around it. And we thought we could adapt that. So, a central circle would be framed by four semicircles, which in turn would be framed by costume figures representing the diversity of the world's population. The figure in the center can be seen as either a chalice or a dove, both fundamental UE symbols, and the words beginning our covenant, which seemed like a really good place to put them. And the semicircles, that was a pondering thing. We had so many choices. We solicited additional choices from the congregation and then had a congregational vote to determine what words and phrases we would use. And the winners of that great contest were the ones that you see here that were distributed in those semicircles. We set forth on library research to locate pictures of costumed people of the world to copy and scale to size to create patterns. And we went back to our personal stashes and came up with all kinds of fabrics and other materials that we could use for the costumes. Take a close look when you're through the service, if you can, and see that each one of those little people was crafted to depict one of the world's traditions. This was a big hit with the RE kids. They were so excited about this. We put it down and they looked at all these pictures and they did drawings. It was really fun. So many people helped make this quilt a reality. You can read about it in a brochure we have on the quilt at the back of the sanctuary. But the name Diana O'Brien has come up, and I have to say, there wouldn't be a quilt if it weren't for Diana. She was really phenomenal. She was very subtle in the way she just kept badgering us into working. You know? And meanwhile, while she was badgering us, she just kept quilting and quilting and quilting and quilting. Just look at all the stitches in that. Those are all done by hand. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. So when the idea of the quilt was born, most of us signing on to that project didn't know where we were committing ourselves to. We had no idea of the work ahead. 2 years later, we understood and the quilt was done. We had a major unveiling just about 23 years ago in March of 2005. And the side panels, well, you know, we'll have to see where we go from here.
I'm Aaron Broadwell. Some of you may not know me, but I was involved in the very early stages of the congregation. So when we started having the organizational meetings in 96 and 97, I was part of the organizing then. And today I'm going to be talking about the blessings that our ministers have brought us over the years. Our very first minister was Linda Hoddy. And just to say a little bit about Linda, Linda was originally a member of the congregation in Schenectady, and I think was congregational president and became very involved in Unitarian Universalism, went to seminary, and felt the call to become a minister. And so in 96, a group of UUs based in Glens Falls put together an application for a new congregation ministry grant. And this grant named Linda as the organizing minister of a new congregation. So the grant paid, I don't remember exactly the details, but roughly the grant paid all of Linda's salary the first year, and half of her salary the second year, and a quarter of her salary the third year. So we had to step up each year and raise enough money to pay the rest of it. So Linda was our organizing minister. And in 2002, we decided as a congregation to call her to be our first settled minister. And I was the head of that call process at the time. I was also congregational president, I think the second president, sort of like in the Millard Fillmore days of this congregation. And I was president two other times, somewhere in the church history. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the gifts that Linda brought to us. She was a fabulous organizing minister. She had great energy, especially in the early years when we did not have a building and we needed a lot of encouragement and a lot of coordination of volunteers to make everything work, It was a lot of work, and there were only about 30 or 40 of us in the early years, and we didn't have a fixed home. So it involved inspiring a lot of volunteers to do a lot of effort. And I thought I'd also mention some of her bravery as well. So in 2004, Peter and I were married right here in this sanctuary. At that time, same-sex marriage was not legal in New York State. But we went across the border to Massachusetts and we got a marriage license. And we asked Linda to perform the ceremony here. And she said, I don't care if they put me in jail. I'm going to do this service for you. So that was one of her bits of bravery. She was inspirational. She was wonderful. She was with us until 2012. So that was about 16 years. Because I was congregational president for several of those years, I worked very closely with Linda. The life of a minister is a difficult thing. Surprisingly, I know this will be surprising to you, it is not easy to please everyone in this room. So it wears on the minister because there is always someone who is a little unhappy about something, or people who have problems in their own personal life need pastoral care. This tends to wear on people. And the last couple of years, I think Linda was not so happy here. There were more disagreements. And finally, she made the brave decision to step away and leave the space to someone else. Then we were very lucky to recruit Thomas Michelson to be our interim minister for 2 years. Thomas had been the minister at First Unitarian in Cambridge, Mass. He was used to a very large, influential, affluent community. And he came here. He was living in Western Mass. He commuted in, and he was so charming and loving. He is the author of several hymns in our UU hymnal. It was amazing to have him here. He had such a breadth of knowledge, such a long history with the Unitarian Universalist Association. He was such a gentle and loving person. And I have just the fondest memories of him. He was a joy to be with. But while he was here during his 2 years, we also began the search process to call Joe Cleveland. I was co-chair of that committee, and I worked with a lot of other hardworking members of this congregation. We went through the very, very long process of calling a minister, which included congregational meeting groups, studies, discussions. What do we want from a minister? How do we want to present ourselves? How do we want to be in the future? We had many, many meetings here, lots of writing on these big sort of notepads, right? And summaries of this. And we made our own packet, which was our presentation of ourselves. We looked at packets of a lot of different candidates. The members of the search committee traveled to different places around the Northeast to hear candidates preach, and then we finally selected Joe as our candidate, invited him, and he began with us in 2014. And so as I reflect on all that long history, I think what a blessing it is that we have had such talented, dedicated, hardworking ministers these years. I do not think we would exist as a congregation without the love and the care of our ministers, and I want to say a thank you to all of them today.